Good morning. My name is Pam, and I'll be your conference operator today. At this time, I'd like to welcome everyone to the GrowGeneration Corp. second quarter 2020 earnings conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you'd like to withdraw your question, simply press star, then the number two. Thank you. Mr. Michael Solomon, you may begin your conference.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Michael Solomon, co-founder and president of GrowGeneration. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the GrowGeneration second quarter 2020 earnings conference call. With me this morning is Darren Lampert, our CEO and co-founder, Monty Lamoretto, our CFO, and Tony Sullivan, our chief operating officer, who will all be participants on our call this morning. After our CEO, CFO, and COO's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. As always, we expect to make forward-looking statements this morning, but I want to caution you that our actual results could differ materially from what we have, what we say here. Investors should familiarize themselves with the full range of risk factors that could impact our results, and those are filed in our Form 10-K, which we filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission. I'd also remind everyone that today's call is being recorded and an archived version of our call will be available on our website later today. Let's get started. We had an exciting quarter, looking forward to presenting. I would sum up our second quarter as a quarter where all sales channels came together and performed extremely well. GrowGeneration recorded its 10th consecutive quarter of record revenues, and we achieved record adjusted EBITDA and net income for the quarter ended June 30th, 2020. On August 10th, we broke $100 million in revenues, a goal Darren and I set 6 years ago when we started the company. Our hydroponic garden center has experienced a 50% increase in walk-in transactions from the end of Q1 to the end of Q2, now surpassing over 10,000 per week. Online sales continue to increase, up almost 150% quarter over quarter, with our unique visitors now approaching 100,000 per month. The commercial division added a record 167 new commercial accounts in the quarter, with revenues up 142% quarter over quarter. That division, our commercial division, now services over 700 commercial customers. Our follow-on public offering led by Oppenheimer was upsized due to demand, and we raised $48 million in new capital. With approximately $60 million of cash on our balance sheet today, our company is actively pursuing several store acquisitions and looking at new markets for new store openings to continue to drive growth. GrowGen preparedness delivered record results this quarter, and this execution discipline continues to deliver positive results quarter over quarter. With that brief introduction, I will turn the call over to our CEO, Darren Lampert, who will present our second quarter 2020 results. Darren.
Thank you, Michael. Good morning, and welcome to our second quarter earnings call. Before we begin our Q2 earnings call, I'd like to begin by thanking our staff and customers for their hard work, dedication, and loyalty during this time of uncertainty. As we continue to monitor the COVID-19 outbreak, GrowGen is considered an essential supplier to the agricultural industry, supplying the nutrients and nourishments required to feed their plants. Accordingly, all our 28 stores are open during this difficult time and remain open. We have plans and procedures in place to ensure our customers and employees stay safe during this time of uncertainty. All of us at GrowGen remain committed to the safety and well-being of our customers and employees. On August 12th, GrowGen entered into a partnership with Whole Cities Foundation, committing to donate product to develop urban farms across the United States. We are excited to report another quarter of record financial results and performance by our company. As I reflect on the quarter's results, I remind myself and our team that GrowGen is in the early stages of a multi-billion dollar industry with tremendous growth ahead of us. GrowGen was built through hard work, limited capital, and organic growth from 2014 to 2018. We built a foundation for growth in those early years, and in 2018, we raised $20 million that we invested in our business, driving sales from $30 million in 2018 to $80 million in 2019. On August 10th, we surpassed $100 million in sales with over 18 weeks still to go in the year. The company's Q2 2020 record financial results reflect our continued focus on revenue growth and adjusted EBITDA expansion. Q2 2020 was the company's 10th consecutive record quarter of revenue. As we continue to outpace our guidance, we are increasing fiscal year 2020 revenue guidance to $170 million to $175 million and increasing adjusted EBITDA guidance for 2020 to $17 to $18 million. We have set 2020 full-year GAAP pre-tax net income guidance to $7 to $8 million. Revenue guidance for full-year 2021 is $245 million to $260 million, and full-year adjusted EBITDA 2021 is $26 million to $28 million. Revenue was up 123% quarter-over-quarter to approximately $43.5 million. Versus $19.5 million for Q2 2019. Adjusted EBITDA was $4.6 million for Q2 2020 compared to $1.7 million for Q2 2019. Adjusted EBITDA for Q2 2020 was 12 cents per share basic. Net income from store operations was approximately $7.6 million compared to $3.1 million for Q2 2019, an increase of 146%. Our same-store sales were up 49% in Q2 2020 versus Q2 2019. Our online business, growgeneration.com, is projected to exceed $10 million in revenue in 2020, was up 149% for Q2 2020 versus Q2 2019. And up 163% for 6 months ended Q2 2020 versus 6 months ended Q2 2019. Our omni-channel strategy will connect all 28 of our stores' inventories to our e-commerce site, allowing for buy online and pick up in-store functionality. GrowGen's just-in-time supply chain delivers our products safely and timely to our customers. Today, we offer will call, curbside, and direct-to-farm shipments from all our store locations, and through our online e-commerce platform, we can ship to all 52 states. Recently, we have seen a surge in online revenues, and we're well prepared to fulfill these orders. Our commercial division is projected to do in excess of $30 million in annual revenues for 2020 and added $9.3 million in revenues in the quarter, 142% increase for Q2 2020 versus 2019. To highlight our market-by-market growth, Colorado was up 18% quarter-over-quarter, 21% for the 6 months, California 19%, plus 32% for the 6 months, Michigan 322%, plus 299% for the six months, and Oklahoma plus 348%, plus 332% for the 6 months. Our weekly walk-in transactions are now over 10,000, increased by 50% from Q1 2020 to the end of Q2 2020. On June 16th, the company successfully acquired H2O Hydroponics and consolidated it with our West Lansing operations into a new 15,000-square-foot super hydroponic garden center. The company believes that the combined business will generate over $8 million in annual revenue in 2020. This week, we closed on a store, Emerald City Gardens, our 28th store, located in the heart of the Green Zone in Concord, California. Our commercial revenues for the 6 months ended June 30, 2020, were $17.7 million, an increase of 181% over the 6 months ended June 30, 2019. We have generated more commercial sales in the 6 months than we did in the entire 2019 year. We continue to see strong demand for our products that include LED lights, nutrients, additives, soils, and other products that outfit and feed growers' gardens. Our newly launched private label Sunleaf Nutrients and Additive line of products is now generating over $100,000 a month in sales. We are focused on margin expansion strategies that include furthering the deployment of more private label products and driving more efficiencies at the purchasing level as we continue to scale. We have new acquisitions and new store openings we plan to close during the remainder of 2020 as we continue to drive growth. Our mergers and acquisition pipeline is the most active it has been since our inception. We have set a corporate goal to reach 50 stores in 15 states in 2021. GrowGen has a tremendous team of essential employees who have made a commitment to our company and customers, and I couldn't be any prouder. I am inspired by their efforts and dedication as they have worked tirelessly to service our customers and communities. I will now turn the call over to Tony Sullivan, our Chief Operating Officer, who will brief everyone on our current COVID-19 risk mitigation procedures and key operation initiatives executed in Q2, and then to our CFO, Monty Lamoretto, who will provide more detail on our Q2 2020 year results. Tony.
Thank you, Darren. We had another successful quarter with record financial results, and we are very proud of our team's continued growth, execution, and performance in the second quarter. As Darren stated, our top priority is the safety of our team, their families, and our customers. Currently, all 28 of our locations are open and operating efficiently. We have been relentless and one step ahead with all safety protocols throughout this pandemic. We are classified as an essential business supply chain for agricultural and medical. And COVID-19 city, county, state, and federal mandates, we have updated and consistently been aware of all changes, monitoring them several times daily and making sure our teams are aware daily. We have deployed remote working environments for all non-essential store personnel across multiple departments. And we currently have 2 out of the 10 states we operated in who have lifted the stay-at-home mandate. And even though they have lifted the stay-at-home mandate, we continue all our protocols and maintain the safety protocols in place regardless of the change in the states. All stores, we wear masks. We follow the 6-foot distancing rule. There is no more than 10 gathering at any time. And being that this is a fluid, ever-changing situation, we continue to manage, monitor, and communicate daily. We will continue to maintain and communicate our safety and cleaning protocols and work towards our new normal business practices. We are monitoring and have a significant cleaning and safety supplies in all locations. We will continue to stay one step ahead, operating with stricter protocols to ensure we keep our team and our customers safe. A couple of key takeaways with COVID. Our relentless, proactive safety communication and approach has paid off. We have had no reported COVID positive tests, and we're very proud of that. Considering the COVID-19 impact, we have continued to produce record results in Q2. As stated earlier, we are able to deploy and test critical omni-channel functionality, including buy online, pick up in store, curbside pickup, will call, and pick, pack, and ship, providing multiple channels for our customers to shop safely and efficiently. We are ready to deploy proven additional safety operating levels if and when necessary by location. Most importantly, we are prepared to maintain our highest safety levels, protecting our team and our customers. Now for a few key operating initiatives and accomplishments in Q2. We have developed a real estate and two-year growth strategy that will strengthen our multi-channel supply chain and our state-by-state ownership plan. Omni-channel and new website. We are currently testing buy online pickup in store, pick pack and ship, curbside pickup solutions as we wrap up the final development to launch our new site. In our private label strategy, our newest product offerings have exceeded expectations and phase two expansion is underway. SKU rationalization and new store planogram project. We have selected one of the top industry partners in the space. We anticipate significant learnings and data to improve our inventory turn and optimization of inventory and profit. Brand reset and refresh. This is our first 25 feet strategy. We have started our rebrand strategy where we will rebrand, re-sign, and develop a consistent customer experience across our multiple channel sites and stores. Grow Generation West Lansing, as Darren shared with you. We recently purchased H2O. We have consolidated the market into a 15,000 square foot super garden store with outstanding results. Grow Gen Grand Rapids. We are currently relocating and expanding into a 20,000 square foot Super Hydro Garden Center store. And this will be our Midwest Fulfillment Center opening in early September. And on August 10th, we have completed the acquisition of Emerald City Garden, located in Concord, California, our 28th location. At this time, I will now turn it over to Monty, our CFO, to review our financial highlights. Monty?
Thanks, Tony. Let's go over the Q2 2020 financial highlights. Some of these items were previously discussed by Darren, so some of them might be a little repetitive. Revenues up 123% to $43.5 million for Q2 2020 versus $19.5 million for Q2 2019. The revenue increase is the result of, one, an increase in same-store sales of 49% quarter-over-quarter, the addition of six new retail stores opened or acquired after June 30th, 2019 that contributed no revenue in quarter two 2019 compared to $13.5 million in Q2 2020. Two stores opened in May 2019 that contributed $2.25 million in revenue this quarter ended June 30th, 2020 compared to $1 million for the quarter ended June 30th, 2019. And a 142% increase in commercial business comparing Q2 2020 to Q2 2019, and a 149% increase in our online sales comparing Q2 2020 to Q2 2019. Sales in the 19 stores opened for all of Q2 2020 and Q2 2019 contributed revenue of $25.1 million for Q2 2020 versus $16.9 million for Q2 2019, the 49% increase. Gross profit was $11.6 million for the second quarter, Q2 2020, as compared to $5.8 million for Q2 2019, an increase of $5.8 million or 99%. Gross profit as a percentage of sales was 26.7% for Q2 2020 compared to 29.9% for Q2 2019. The decrease in the gross profit margin percentage is due to, one, commercial and e-commerce revenues accounting for 27% of total revenues for Q2 2020, compared to 25% of total revenues for Q2 2019, resulting in a reduction of margin of approximately 0.8 basis points as a result of lower margins for the e-commerce and commercial sales. Two, in 2019, in the first quarter of 2019, we acquired a significant amount of inventory from a vendor at a very substantial discount. Sales of this product in Q2 2019 accounted for 5% of overall revenues, and we had very high margins, resulting in a 1.3 basis point increase in margin in 2019. Operating expenses are comprised of store operations, primarily payroll, rent, utilities, and corporate overhead. Operating costs were approximately $8.8 million for Q2 2020 versus approximately $4.6 million for Q2 2019, an increase of approximately $4.2 million or 89%. Store operating costs were approximately $4 million for Q2 2020 compared to approximately $2.7 million for Q2 2019, an increase of approximately $1.3 million or 46%. The increase in store operating costs is directly attributable to the increase in the number of stores, as previously discussed in the revenue section. Store operating costs as a percentage of revenues was 9.2% for Q2 2020 versus 14% for Q2 2019, a 35% reduction. Store operating costs are positively impacted by the opening of new and acquired stores throughout the second half of 2019 and new stores in 2020, which have lower percentage of operating costs for revenue due to their larger size and higher revenue volume and a 49% increase in same-store sales. Corporate overhead, which is primarily comprised of share-based compensation, depreciation and amortization, general and administrative costs, and corporate salaries and related expenses, was approximately $4.8 million for Q2 2020 compared to approximately $1.9 million for Q2 2019. Corporate overhead costs were 11% of revenue for Q2 2020 compared to 9.8% for Q2 2019. The increase in corporate overhead as a percentage of revenues for the quarter ended June 30th, 2020 was due to the increase in non-cash share-based compensation from approximately $390,000 for the quarter ended June 30th, 2019 to approximately $1.2 million for the quarter ended June 30th, 2020. The increase in non-cash share-based compensation was the result of several new executive employment agreements, which became effective January 1st, 2020, for which share-based awards and option awards vested over a two-year period. The increase in salary expense from approximately $821,000 in Q2 2019 to approximately $2 million for Q2 2020 was primarily due to the increase in corporate staff to support expanding operations, including purchase store manager integration, accounting finance, information systems, purchase and commercial sales staff. Corporate salaries and related costs as a percentage of sales were 4.5% for the 3 months ended June 30th, 2020, compared to 4.2% for the 3 months ended June 30th, 2019. G&A expenses, comprised mainly of advertising, promotion, travel, entertainment, professional fees, and insurance, was approximately $1.2 million for the 3 months ended June 30th, 2020, and approximately $549,000 for the 3 months ended June 30th, 2019, with a majority of the increase related to advertising, promotion, travel, legal fees, and bad debt valuation allowances. General administrative costs as a percentage of revenues were 2.6% for the 3 months ended June 30th, 2020, and 2.8% for the 3 months ended June 30th, 2019. As noted earlier, corporate overhead, which includes non-cash expenses consisting primarily of share-based compensation and depreciation and amortization, the non-cash expenses were approximately $1.6 million for Q2 2020 compared to approximately $542,000 for Q2 2019. Net income for the 3 months ended June 30th, 2020 was approximately $2.6 million compared to net income of $1.1 million for the 3 months ended June 30th, 19. A positive change of nearly $1.5 million. The increase in net income for the quarter ended June 30th, 2020 was primarily due to, one, the 123% increase in revenues, while store operating costs increased only 99%. Net income from store operations, which was approximately $7.6 million for the quarter ended June 30th, 2020, compared to $3.1 million for the quarter ended June 30, 2019, an increase of 146%. The increase in income from store operations were offset by increased corporate overhead, which was approximately $4.8 million for the quarter ended June 30, 2020, compared to approximately $1.8 million for the quarter ended June 30, 2019, an increase of $2.9 million, of which non-cash share-based compensation and depreciation and amortization was $1.1 million of that increase. Increase in G&A and salaries for the quarter ended June 30th compared to the quarter ended June 30th, 2019 accounted for the remaining increase. Adjusted EBITDA was $4.6 million for Q2 2020 versus $1.7 million for Q2 2019. The increase in adjusted EBITDA comparing Q2 20 to Q2 19 was due to, one, an increase in net income of approximately $1.5 million, and two, non-cash add-backs, primarily depreciation, amortization, and share-based compensation, which were approximately $1.6 million for Q2 2020 versus $540,000 for Q2 2019. Adjusted EBITDA per share was 12 cents for Q2 2019 versus 6 cents. Was 12 cents for Q2 2020 versus 6 cents for Q2 2019. Cash at August 12, 2020 was approximately $59 million. Working capital at June 30, 2020 was $35.2 million compared to $30.6 million at December 31, 2019. During the quarter, we had proceeds from the sale of warrants of approximately $282,000. I'll now turn over the call back to Darren for some further comments.
Thank you, Monty. In conclusion, GrowGen recorded its 10th consecutive record quarter of increased revenues, and we achieved record adjusted earnings. GrowGen achieved the sales milestone, surpassing $100 million in sales on August 10th. Our commercial team did more business in the first 6 months of 2020 than we did in the entire year 2019. And our e-commerce division is growing at over 140% for the same period quarter over quarter. Our store foot traffic is up 50% from end of Q1 2020 to the end of Q2 2020. Our company has tremendous growth and momentum built into the remainder of the year. Our store acquisitions and new store openings continue to drive growth while we deliver double-digit same-store sales results quarter over quarter. We set a goal to own and operate over 50 locations in 15 states during the year 2021. Today, we own and operate 28 locations. All stores will be connected to our e-commerce platform in September, providing our customers the buy online and pick up in store option. GrowGen's preparedness delivered record results, and this execution discipline will continue to deliver positive results quarter over quarter. GrowGen has built an essential supply chain for the agricultural industry. Our leadership position is driven through our corporate mission statement to be the largest chain of hydroponic garden centers in the USA. We continue to cultivate the best and most knowledgeable staff in the country. We are focused on world-class customer service, a commitment to our customers. We continue to invest in our supply chain and technology, creating more efficiencies across all departments. Execution of our financial goals and guidance is evident with our Q2 2020 numbers we reported, with revenue up 123% quarter over quarter and adjusted EBITDA earnings $4.6 million or 12 cents a share. Our second quarter 2020 was strong as we successfully added H2O Hydroponics to the portfolio. This week we added our 28th store, Emerald City Gardens, located in Concord, California. We completed a $48 million institutional follow-on public offering led by Oppenheimer, which was oversubscribed three times. On June 29th, GrowGen was added to the Russell 3000 Index. We believe our Russell 3000 listing will increase long-term shareholder value by improving awareness, liquidity, and appeal to institutional investors. Our balance sheet is strong, with approximately $60 million in cash, which allows us to continue to execute our internal growth initiatives while we continue to purchase the best-of-breed hydroponic operations and open new GrowGen locations. We've increased fiscal year 2020 revenue guidance to $170 to $175 million, adjusted EBITDA guidance for 2020 is $17 to $18 million, and full-year GAAP pre-tax net income guidance is $7 to $8 million. Revenue guidance for full year 2021 is $245 million to $260 million. Adjusted EBITDA full year 2021 guidance is $26 to $28 million. We look forward to continuing to provide guidance as need be, and we're excited to share our successes with our shareholders, our management team, and partners. Now we will answer a few questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Should you have any questions, please press star followed by one on your touch-tone phone. You will hear a three-tone prompt acknowledging your request, and your questions will be polled in the order they are received. Should you wish to decline from the polling process, please press star followed by two. If you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before pressing any keys. One moment for your first question. Your first question comes from Brian Nagel with Oppenheimer. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Brian.
Great quarter. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So the first question, I have a couple of questions. First, maybe a little bigger picture in nature, but obviously a lot of, you spend a lot of time, say, talking about just the ongoing COVID-19 crisis and the efforts on the part of GrowGen to contend with this. The question I have is, as you look at the results, you know, in the quarter just recently, you know, from a sales, maybe even an expense part, could you help us understand better kind of the puts and takes as it relates to COVID-19? You know, meaning, to what extent are your sales, phenomenal sales growth, could it be held back, or are you actually, to a certain extent, benefiting in the crisis in a similar type dynamic for expenses?
Yeah, I'll take that, Brian. I think it's twofold. You know, first is really difficult to ascertain. Our growth was, you know, continuing right up into COVID. So what you really saw during our fourth quarter and first quarter was really the increase in our same store sales within our organization, as you saw probably, you know, again, you know, trending through last year. So the only thing that we've really seen through COVID is the continued increase. What you're starting to see, I think, is the resurgence of the cannabis markets in the United States. I mean, what you've seen from, you know, certainly earnings calls from the big MSOs, that business is booming. And you're starting to see, you know, again, a lot of conversation going on, you know, with federal legalization and, you know, certainly states following up, you know, even back east. So I think you're just seeing a lot of positives throughout the market. But what we've seen, you know, specifically during COVID is, you know, we're outpacing our peers. We're better stocked. We're better equipped. Our stores are open and clean. And I think, you know, through Tony's guidance, we've done a tremendous job handling COVID. Expense-wise on COVID, you know, certainly you're seeing certain expenses flow through, the cleaning supplies. You know, certainly, you know, we've been giving bonuses to employees, we have not missed, you know, we've paid, you know, employees extra opposed to docking employees for not working. So you're certain, you know, you're probably seeing, you know, $150,000 to $200,000 of expenses flowing through, you know, probably in the quarters, you know, based upon COVID that we hopefully see subsiding going into the future.
No, that's very, very helpful. Then my follow-up question, Monty, in your comments, you discussed gross margin and, you know, what was essentially a difficult comparison with last year. You know, within the context, you all lifted guidance for 2020, then introduced very compelling guidance for 2021. But how should we think about just the gross margins going forward, particularly in light of, you know, continued outsized growth in commercial, you know, private label efforts and such?
The commercial – go ahead.
No, Monty, you take it. Go ahead.
Yeah, the increase in commercial and e-commerce as a percentage of total revenues has an impact on our overall margin. But with the increased effort that we have for private label, we hope to not only offset that, but to increase our margins as a result of the introduction of additional private label products in 2021 and beyond.
Yeah, and Brian, this is Darren. What you're also seeing, you're seeing a tremendous increase in foot traffic in our stores. You're seeing almost a 50% increase quarter over quarter. You know, when you're looking at a blend of margins from Grow Generation, it's threefold. It's commercial, it's e-commerce, and then it's foot traffic coming through the stores, which is also commercial but not large MSO business. So what you're seeing in our second quarter, about 27% of our sales was basically MSO and commercial business that's flowing through in the low 20s. We see as GrowGen continues to grow, more foot traffic coming through the stores, and certainly, you know, and with more purchases out there, you're just seeing more customers are shopping. So you're seeing our margins right now, you know, pretty consistent where they are, you know, the 26 to 27 point range. But we see when we start, you know, flowing through private label products, which is certainly a work in progress, but it's the biggest initiative at GrowGen right now. You'll see private label products flowing through anywhere from 60 to 100 basis points. So you will see a kick up in margins, you know, slowly. But we certainly are the belief that, you know, our margins right now are, you know, certainly consistent throughout the year, but we think you will see these margins creeping up over the following years as private label becomes a bigger part of our business. I mean, right now you're looking probably at 1% to 2% private label initiatives. Hopefully by the end of next year will be, you know, again, in the double-digit number. So you'll see it slowly, gradually increasing.
Very helpful. I appreciate all the color. Congratulations, and best of luck in the next couple quarters.
Thanks, Brian.
Your next question comes from Glenn Mattson with Ladenburg Thalmann. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking the question, and congrats on a nice quarter. So curious a little more color on the commercial division. I know we've talked about it a bunch in the past, but, you know, it was really solid account growth. So number one, maybe could you just give us some more detail around that segment? Can you talk about the sales force, if you're growing that? Can you talk about if there's any, you know, maybe region of the country that's seen, you know, that's driving it, maybe the nature of the accounts, the size of them, maybe if there's any churn in that base at all or anything? Just some more detail around that would be great.
Michael, I'm going to send that over to you.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you, Glenn, for that question. It's a good question. You know, we're constantly building our commercial book of business. And as we announced today, you know, we had a significant increase in number of commercial accounts, you know, up 167 for the quarter. You know, we're now servicing over 700 commercial customers. You know, we look at commercial business as a segment of the business where a commercial customer is defined for us as someone that's spending over $50,000 or more, you know, with the company. We have a dedicated sales force. We have a dedicated customer service division that works directly. And we think we've perfected the way to interface efficiently with these large, you know, multi-state operators and large regional commercial customers. And the evidence is based on the success that we've had. I mean, quarter over quarter, you know, we were up in our commercial division 142%, 6 months 181%. And we're leveraging, and I think what's really, you know, working really well for the company is that we have this interconnectivity between our commercial sales team that is selling in based on, you know, a product selection that is, you know, personalized to that particular, you know, growth. GrowGen has the capability to really supply exactly what that grower wants. And I think one of the things that we really understood very early on, that every commercial grower, every commercial cultivator grows a little bit differently. And you have to provide, you know, the ability to, you know, deliver what they are actually looking to use, that they're used to use from a nutrient perspective, a lighting perspective. And GrowGen supply chain and inventory system is able to manage that. And that's what's, you know, closing business. And then you tie that together, you know, with a just-in-time inventory system with the supply chain that we've created through the 28 locations. We're able to reach, you know, commercial customers, you know, same day and just in time. We have their inventory stocked at any one of our 28 locations, which is certainly expanding as we look at new markets coming on. So GrowGen is in a very strategic and unique position to not only acquire customers, but to service and manage those customers on an ongoing basis with a local presence combined with our commercial division, which is made up of, you know, right now we have about 20 individuals, and that division has grown, you know, significantly. As Darren mentioned in his comments, you know, our commercial division in the first 6 months did more business than we did in the entire year for 2019. So it's a constant lead generation to quoting, to closing, and then leveraging the supply chain to service those customers on an ongoing basis. And then personalizing the offerings and our ability to deliver exactly what they want. That's what's acquiring these commercial customers and retaining those commercial customers.
Great. Thanks for the color there, Michael. And then just as a, if I could, on a follow-up, curious just about if you're seeing any change in the competitive landscape at all. I mean, I know in the past it's been kind of like a niche market, and, you know, it's maybe not been big enough for, like, the big national guys and stuff like that. But, you know, now that the pace of the growth is significant, you're talking about $250 million in revenue next year. Just curious if you're seeing any new entrants from below or above on the competitive landscape. Thanks.
Yeah, Glenn, we have not at all. We've seen zero.
Okay, great. Thanks. That's it for me. Thanks.
Your next Your next question comes from Mark Smith with Lake Street Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking some questions. The first question for me is just looking, can you talk a little bit about the multiples that you're seeing and paying right now on some recent acquisitions and kind of your expectations going forward? As we look at M&A, has COVID maybe created some more opportunities, and how long do you think that?
Yeah, I'll take that. Mark, we're still seeing pretty consistent multiples as we've seen in the past few years. You know, we're seeing anywhere from 2 to 3. Certain of the larger, you know, acquisitions may go to 4 to 5. But, you know, it's been pretty consistent throughout the years that we've been in business. And as we stated earlier during our conference call, our acquisition pipeline is big and getting bigger. And one of the interesting parts about that, you know, there's a lot of work for GrowGen still to do in the existing states that we're in. We're seeing tremendous growth in the California markets right now. You know, GrowGen still does not have a large presence in Southern California. We see more work to do in the Michigan markets right now. We see some work to do in the Maine markets and the Washington markets. So the interesting part is, besides, you know, again, you know, GrowGen is forecasting 15 states next year, probably in excess of 15 states, but you still will see work out of GrowGen in existing states that we're in.
Okay. And that kind of leads to my next question. You know, as we look at this goal of 50, can you talk about the mix of, you know, acquisitions versus building new stores?
It's a hard question, you know, right now, again, because like anything else, our acquisition pipeline is fluid and it changes, you know, again, when we start doing diligence on certain stores out there. But right now we see still for next year, more purchases, more stores being added through acquisition than through those new store openings through GrowGen.
Okay. And then last one.
Yeah, Mark,
one.
I get this. Yeah. I'll just add a little color to that. You know, I mean, what we've done over the years is look at acquisitions in mature markets and the new emerging markets, which are, you know, we're very excited about what we think is going to happen, you know, during this election year, with Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Arizona. Those are markets where, you know, there's really nothing for us to acquire. And those are markets that, you know, GrowGen will open up, you know, a new location, a super hydroponic operation to really take advantage of legalization. So, you know, we're very much, and as Tony mentioned, we have a two-year real estate, you know, initiative to look at locations, you know, where these licenses are being granted, you know, combining that with, as Darren mentioned, a very aggressive acquisition program in the more mature markets, you know, Michigan and California, you know, so you're combining both, you know, the acquisition strategy, you know, combined with the new markets that are opening up and our ability to open up a new location, you know, in 90 days, you know, really gives the company, you know, tremendous, you know, first market, you know, mover position to take advantage of legalization as it occurs. So it's really those strategies that we've really, you know, implemented. You can see it in the results in Oklahoma. You know, we were the first company to really take advantage of legalization, opened up four locations. You know, each one of those locations are, you know, approaching $1 million a month in business. So, you know, we have the staff, the infrastructure, and the expertise, you know, to not only acquire, but to certainly open up new locations as these markets, you know, legalize themselves. And we think there's going to be, you know, a number of these new states coming on board, you know, in the fall.
Hey, Michael, if you don't mind, Tony, I'd like to add a little bit to that too. So with our two-year roadmap, it's broken out into really three phases, guys. One is our acquisition strategy, two is our new store, new state strategy, and three is our supply chain fulfillment center strategy, really putting in these big hub and spoke stores. So the exciting thing is with 40 states of growth, we have the ability to go in and acquire, open up new, and position our supply chain. So it's nice to have a three-phased approach in our two-year roadmap.
Excellent. That is helpful. Thank you, guys. Last one for me, I guess, is just any update on the ERP system, kind of how, you know, that implementation has gone and throughout all the stores and maybe where that is, has helped you as you've seen some of this growth, especially in building out some new systems like buy online, pick up in store.
Tony, you'd like to take that?
Yeah, I'll take that. So good news, guys. Our ERP system is fully deployed in all our stores that we operate in today. Secondly, it goes into all new acquisitions and new stores. And the exciting thing right now is we are connecting it with Magento and our omni-channel approach as we speak. We've been testing it very successfully with the BOPIS, pick, pack, and ship, and will play a significant part as we roll it out in September with our new website. So good news is ERP is up and running, fully deployed across the chain, fully deployed across anything we new and acquire, and fully deployed with our new omni-channel approach and new website that we'll launch in September.
Perfect. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Mark.
Your next question comes from Scott Fortune with Roth Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Congrats on a good solid quarter again. Real quick, to follow up on the real estate side of things, are these acquisitions, are you looking, kind of what's the average size footprint you're looking for of these acquisitions? Most recently, you've moved up into the larger super centers, kind of more fulfillment centers, but step us through kind of the store numbers with the kind of smaller footprints versus the larger footprints, what you're looking for there.
I think, Scott, you'll see a mix dependent upon states we're in. Where the stores are located, you know, what communities they're in, you know, whether we're looking for a distribution center versus, you know, an add-on store in certain states we're in. You know, so right now you're, you know, again, you know, within our portfolio, certainly within our, you know, again, our acquisitions that, you know, we have, you know, we will be closing, they range, you know, they range in a tremendous amount, you know, from low to high. I can't really discuss the numbers with you right now with the size of some of these acquisitions until we complete them. But you'll see, you know, again, anywhere from, you know, again, 10,000 square foot stores and up.
And a little more color to that, guys.
Hey, Scott, one of the things you'll see is, you know, most stores that GrowGen are acquiring, you won't see stores doing under $4 million in revenue.
Got it. Thanks. And then real quick, shifting kind of private label, you know, you guys have put a focus on that, but it's kind of been slow to, you know, really adopt and develop. Kind of step us through more of the timing. You say 2021, and we can get up to double digit of overall revenues, but kind of step us through kind of the initiatives you're looking at. And then a little bit color on the hemp side. What are you seeing on the hemp CBD side as part of the business here?
Hey, Scott, I'm going to start off with that, and I'm going to toss it over to Michael quickly. You know, one of the issues with the slow adoption of our private label, you know, as we always stated from, you know, for GrowGen, you know, our desire was to build the stores, build the space, and then, you know, bring private label in. COVID certainly has slowed down the implementation of private label between China and getting things done right now. I can tell you that when you ask about COVID has slowed down the initiation of our private label, getting it to stores. But with that, I'm going to turn it over to Michael, who's going to discuss our private label strategy.
You know, Scott, it's really twofold. You know, you have brands that growers are seeking. You know, we stock, you know, every major brand. And then you have, you know, cost-conscious, you know, growers that are looking for, you know, products at a lower cost, which really opens up, you know, the private label opportunity for the company. As Tony, I think, mentioned earlier, you know, we hired an expert to assist the company in sourcing, you know, private label, you know, products. We're doing a very deep dive right now into SKU rationalization and planogramming. So, you know, we last year we bought the assets of a variety of trademarks, product trademarks, that all will be, you know, populated with a private label, you know, product coming into, you know, 2020, 2021, there's tremendous opportunity. You know, we've seen it with Sunleaves, you know, which is approaching $1 million brand. You know, we brought in some products under the Pioneer brand. There's just tremendous opportunity we see now that we've built out the distribution, we have the supply chain to take advantage of the trademarks, developing new products, you know, margin expansion. You know, we will not bring a private label product into the market unless we can pick up, you know, over 50% margins. And we've set a very aggressive goal internally, you know, to get to 10%, you know, next year, 20%, the following year, 30%. And we think the grower, you know, customer is certainly looking at, you know, costs. There's return on investment. And we think through a cost-efficient and a high-quality private label offering, you know, with the expertise of our grow pros that operate, within our store footprint, our commercial, you know, grow technicians, you know, we can really develop a very profitable and broad-based private label, you know, offering. And we just think there's tremendous, you know, tremendous upside in terms of margin expansion and just providing, you know, another alternative, you know, to our customer. But we have to also be cognizant that there are brands and there are existing products that the growers are gravitating to, and we stock those products. You know, Grow Generation has built, you know, the largest selection of hydroponic products in the country. So, you know, we've taken somewhat of an agnostic approach and a personalization approach. You know, we drive our business based on what does the grower need? What products are they buying? And our ability to offer a complete solution is why we're able to acquire, you know, new commercial customers. Why are we getting more walk-in, you know, traffic coming into the store? Because we have the selection. You know, you're seeing more, you know, larger, you know, square footage, more selection. And then you combine that with our knowledge-based sales team who understand, you know, the agricultural, you know, side of the plant. You know, that's what's resonating. And that's why this company continues, you know, to put up, you know, triple-digit growth and double-digit same-store sales growth. You know, in regards to your hemp, you know, question, you know, we certainly have our eye on the hemp market. I think as everyone probably realizes, the hemp market has been really a slow-to-take market. You know, our opinion is until the FDA, you know, really puts out a, you know, very, you know, specific position on the efficacy of it, the safety of it, you know, the market is still going to be relatively niche. We certainly have hemp customers that we work with. We have a product offering. We certainly have product in the nutrient area that's specific for hemp farmers. But that market is still, you know, a very small part of the overall revenue pie of the company. But do we believe that that market can take off? Absolutely. You know, with COVID, you know, we're seeing a resurgence of individuals that are now embracing home gardening. You know, we think there's a tremendous upside in terms of, you know, the home market where home consumers are going to start to, you know, create their own gardens, their own edible gardens for food and produce and those kind of things. So GrowGen is well positioned to market and attract those kind of customers as well. So there's so many opportunities in terms of different vertical markets that the company can enter into in addition to the cannabis market that will drive growth, you know, in the future for this company. And we're certainly looking at how to attack it, how to acquire those customers, how to create the right suite of product and curate the right suite of product for all of those different vertical markets that are all part of this, you know, agricultural resurgence that's coming into our society that's driven by many different, you know, influences. And GrowGen is just well positioned to attack all those verticals. So, that's our position. Hopefully I answered your question.
No, perfect. I appreciate the color. I'll jump back in the queue. Thanks.
Thank you, Scott.
Your next question comes from Peter Wright with Introact. Please go ahead.
Great. Congratulations, guys, and thank you for taking my question. My question is really, what is driving the better visibility in your business? If we look at your guidance, which is embedding 35% better profit this year, 25% better sales growth, you know, and that continuing into 2021, what is it that gives you that comfort, maybe kind of on a metric? And a couple things that I'm trying to think about is your customer value. So are you seeing more repeat customers? Are you seeing you know, lower acquisition costs as you build out your footprint in bigger ways. What are really the drivers that are driving those two big dynamics in your guidance, which is better visibility and better profit per dollar of sale? And then my follow-up question is really just on your 2021 guidance. Does that include non-organic growth, or is it only organic growth like you have guided before? Thank you.
Yeah, I'll start off and probably kick it off. 2021 growth includes acquisitions and new store openings. So that's, you know, again, it's early guidance. So, you know, again, right now it's what we're seeing within our portfolio in connection with, you know, again, acquisitions, new store openings. You know, there are projections and certainly very early on in the game. But just so you do know, you know, we had soft guidance out to Wall Street for $180 million for 2021. So like anything else, we had to change that number. And this is what we feel comfortable with right now. We certainly hope that number will go higher throughout the year. We're extremely comfortable with that number as we stand. What we're seeing in the industry right now is you're seeing the reinsurgence of the cannabis industry in the United States. You're seeing an industry that, you know, went through, you know, certainly bumps and grinds, took time to really get going. And what you're seeing right now is, you know, I spoke earlier about, is look at the reports coming out from some of the large MSOs around the country. You know, cannabis sales are up, and they're up tremendously, and they're continuing. You know, so you're seeing, you know, an industry really that's starting to grow up. And as the industry grows up, there's always a leader on the side supplying that industry, and that's Grow Generation. You know, we're seeing, you know, stores we're looking at, you know, in our acquisition pipeline, their sales are up. It's certainly not anywhere near the percentages that ours, you know, that our sales are up. And what you're seeing right now from GrowGen is you're seeing foot traffic increasing. You're seeing commercial sales increasing. You're seeing online sales increasing. So you're seeing it throughout. You're not just seeing one small area of, you know, of growth. You're seeing the growth throughout the whole company. And what you're seeing is GrowGen building bigger stores. Supply is up. Our service is getting better. And you're seeing really a company that's been built and you know, in the last couple of years. GrowGen from 2014 to 2018, it was a $30 million company. So you're seeing guidance going, you know, from $30 million up to a quarter of a billion in 3 years. And you're seeing it really through, I think, the experience, the learning of a new industry. And again, GrowGen has taken advantage. We have a tremendous staff that's been with us. So our staff, you know, again, we have employees that have been with us from the start, and certainly, you know, new stores that we purchase, owners have stayed on with GrowGen. So we have tremendous experience in the industry. And, you know, again, I think it's just all starting, you know, to pay off as we speak. You know, and anything else, you know, business just continues. And we don't see it stopping. We see a lot of verticals. You know, one is private label products. One certainly is the home garden markets for GrowGen. And you'll see these things added. You're seeing pegboards right now. Tony's working on for every store. You're seeing all our stores with, you know, signage the same. You know, all GrowGen stores are going to look the same. And, you know, you're going to have a happy experience shopping at GrowGen, you know, for your gardening needs.
Hey, just to add to what Darren just said, Peter, and I think it's really, really important to focus in on the multi-channel sales platform. You know, Grow Generation has stores, garden centers, where we're getting tremendous traffic coming in, and that's only going to increase with new store openings, acquisitions. You have a growing commercial division that's continuing to grow through a dedicated sales team that's calling on the multi-state operators and the local and regional commercial customers. And then you have your e-commerce, you know, which is a project that we've been working on for over a year to bring the optionality of, you know, ordering online and picking up at any one of our stores, or ordering online and drop shipping direct, you know, to the home or the farm. So when you look at GrowGen's mix of sales, it's multi-channel. And we run our company that way. You know, we're constantly driving, you know, marketing and sales, you know, efforts and lead generation, you know, across those three platforms. And we think it's very unique and very, you know, special to what we have. you know, it's that multi-channel approach that allows us to continue to grow, you know, across those multiple platforms. And I think that's really an important point, you know, to understand how this company continues to grow, you know, at a top line triple digit, you know, and continue to drive, you know, double digit same store sales. And with the omni-channel approach, you know, which is just at the infancy of where we are, we're launching it in September, the ability to give our customers optionality, you know, on-demand ordering, you know, business tools, which allows the commercial customers to truly understand their purchasing behavior, invoicing, you know, tying them to our inventory, you know, store location, you know, giving them the ability to pick up at any one of our locations. You know, all of that is going to continue, in our opinion, you know, drive the results that we have experienced in this quarter and going forward. So multi-channel sales is a very important component to how we operate the business, how we continue to drive our business.
Your next question comes from Aaron Gray with Alliant. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, guys, and congrats on the quarter.
Thanks,
first
Aaron.
Question
thank
from
you,
me. Mike, you gave some great, you know, commentary, and Darren, too, in terms of the private label initiative. You know, one thing I'm curious about in terms of, you know, as you kind of target, you know, your customer base in the early days, can you give some color in terms of whether or not that's going to be more so on the commercial side or the in-store? Because, like I said, with COVID, it seems like it's impacted the supply chain, but also wondering in terms of, like, consumer education, in terms of your own product offerings, you know, beyond just the cost, but also the quality. And then also whether or not you believe there's going to be more opportunity potentially in the new stores in states that you look to enter to kind of bring in those private label brands initially, those customers, versus kind of your legacy stores where you'd have to transition them from the current products they're using. Thanks.
Michael, Tony?
Yeah. So,
I'm going to turn it.
Yep.
Yeah, Tony, take it.
Yeah, so first of all, as you look at existing stores versus new stores, we're doing one thing that I kind of mentioned earlier, and that is we are going to rebrand, reset every single store so that customer experience, whether you shop in a store in Rhode Island or California, is the same. We're in the middle of that right now, and that will be a very similar experience. Cash wrap, paid walls, positioning of our brand offerings and our private label offerings. And it's going to allow us to really enhance that customer experience when they walk into the store. So item one is, in the next 6 months, we will have a very similar experience in all stores. In new markets, it does allow us to build a bigger store, a little better opportunity with our newest design right out the gate versus refreshing that design going forward. So we're excited about new market growth, but we're equally excited about refreshing, rebranding our existing growth, because we know that's going to send the value proposition we're after for customers no matter where they shop. So hopefully that answers that.
Hey, Aaron, I'll just add to what Tony said. You know, what's exciting about the business model, you know, when we look at these acquisitions, you know, our purchasing power is increasing margin, you know, 5 to 6, 7%. So there's such accretion that comes just from the actual, you know, fact that we're now taking over their business. You know, combining that with, you know, putting the right inventory mix, as Tony mentioned, you know, putting the right SKU rationalization, the right planogram, putting the first 25 feet, and really, you know, putting a grow generation, you know, brand on that store has tremendous impact in terms of walk-in traffic and margin expansion. And most of these, you know, these individual stores, even regional stores, are not getting anywhere near the kind of you know, margins that we're getting based on the fact that we've created, you know, a national scaled hydroponic business. So there's just, you know, there's margin expansion, there's SKU rationalization, you know, putting private label in expands the margin, putting our brand, putting our commercial team against those stores, adding more commercial business, you know, all of it, you know, translates to increased sales, better margins, more profitability, and consolidation of these, you know, markets that we're entering into. And we see that across the board, you know, California, Michigan, Oregon, all the new markets that we just purchased. You know, you look at the same store sales, you look at the market over market, you know, percentage growth. That's because, you know, we're increasing the inventory levels. We're putting, you know, product that the growers really are looking to buy, you know, at margins that are increasing because of our purchasing power. Plus adding the marketing and the sales, you know, is driving more, you know, more revenue. So, you know, it's the combination of all those activities, you know, that's driving both top line and bottom line results for this company.
Thanks for that color. That's helpful. And then just second one for me is in terms of what you're saying at the end in terms of margin and margin opportunity. You know, you gave some color earlier on gross margin as well as the SG&A with the ERP system. So sort of look at the guidance for 2021. Looks like it implies just about 50 basis points of margin expansion. You know, Darren, I know you said you're very confident kind of in that guidance there. So just as we look at the bottom line and the implied margins, just want to think about the puts and takes there as we think about, you know, is it just that you're a little bit more conservative? Is there more margin opportunity, but you just don't know where those acquisitions are going to fall, and they might kind of bring down the margin near term as you benefit from the scale you provide and implementing them into your own ERP system? And then on the gross margin side, is it just the puts and takes there in terms of private label being able to offside some of the potential, you know, negative mix from channel mix coming from commercial sales? So just any kind of overall color on what you expect in terms of that margin guidance you provided for 2021 compared to 2020. Thanks.
Yeah, as you know, Aaron, you know, and again, we certainly spoke about this. GrowGen has always been conservative with guidance. It's very challenging to forecast guidance in such a fast-moving industry. You know, and again, we keep outpacing guidance, and, you know, we try our best to give guidance that we think is accurate. You know, again, business is growing much quicker than we think. With regards to margins, as you probably see from our EBITDA numbers next year is a long ways away. So, you know, right now, you know, this is our best guess going into next year before we really get private label up and running, before we, you know, close, you know, get these acquisitions closed and just get a better look into it. You know, like, again, when we purchase, you know, we're going to be purchasing larger stores and opening, you know, certainly want some color, you know, a couple months out to give us some indication, really, you know, margins in these stores, you know, undergrow generations tutelage. So right now, you know, it'd be really difficult for us, you know, for us to start upping margin accretion next year without really seeing where next year is. So certainly you'll see us, you know, without a question, you know, after the first quarter of next year, certainly, you know, refining guidance, you know, and again, if we're seeing higher margins flowing through, higher EBITDA numbers flowing through, you know, you'll see that, you'll see, you know, certainly that in updated guidance in the first quarter of next year. But, you know, we're still in August. We still do not know where COVID is going. You know, it's, we keep seeing, you know, sales increasing day over day. And, you know, again, one of the other interesting parts, if you take a look, even, you know, if you back out our, you know, our $100 million number, you know, we've kind of given guidance to Wall Street where our first 40 days were in the third quarter. And they were strong. So, you know, we're seeing continued strength into August right now. July was a wonderful month for GrowGen. So we're not seeing business slowing, and it's all organic. Because, you know, as you probably see, you know, again, we purchased three stores this year, and again, way under, you know, our target for this time. You will see a very aggressive next 4 months for GrowGen on the acquisition trail. So you will, you know, hopefully, again, as we get these acquisitions complete and done, and we understand the margins coming out of these stores and really what we can do to them, you know, you'll see guidance updates from GrowGen.
All right, great. Thanks, and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thanks, Aaron.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, should you have any questions, please press star 1. Your next question comes from Eric Deslauriers with Craig-Hallum Capital Group. Please go ahead.
All right, great. Thanks for taking my questions, guys, and congrats again on strong execution here.
Thank you.
I was wondering, can you help us understand the landscape for larger hydroponic stores? You know, call it stores doing greater than $10 million in revenues. I think you guys have mentioned there's roughly 1,000 hydroponic stores throughout the country. How many of these 10-million-plus locations are even out there in your estimation, and what kind of markets are they in?
I think what you're seeing right now, Eric, is most of the larger stores, the larger chains, are California-based, Michigan-based. That's really where you're seeing pockets. You know, you're seeing also in Colorado, very small in Washington. But, you know, absent that, you're seeing, you know, single stores. Some, probably, if you would ask me, you know, and this is an extremely rough guess, it's probably 20 stores, you know, doing over $10 million in business throughout the country right now. There's a couple larger chains out there. But besides that, you're seeing a lot of individual stores, largest stores in the bigger states. What you're seeing, as we keep speaking about, is when you go into the New Jersey markets and the Pennsylvania markets and these smaller markets that are just emerging, you're seeing stores that are small, 2,000 square foot stores. You know, GrowGen is selling into these states. And, you know, one thing from looking at our numbers, you'll see, you know, certainly the crazy numbers coming out of our Rhode Island store. Same store sales and, you know, the growth in Rhode Island has been spectacular. And people always ask the question, you know, what's going on in Rhode Island? Our Rhode Island store is, you know, located in a wonderful place. It's in Warwick, right off of 95. And we're shipping into the Massachusetts market from our Warwick store. So, you know, we have a lot of business in Mass right now. Opposed to opening a store, you know, we're using our Rhode Island store basically for Massachusetts. Licensing in Mass is very spread out. So certainly one thing that we see is, we need to know where licensing is before GrowGen puts a store. We need zip codes, we need growers, and we really need to get a great understanding of where these stores belong. So right now, again, you know, we know every single store in the country. We've spoken to every store in the country. And again, we understand where the strengths is, where the pockets of strength are. And, you know, you will see, you know, acquisitions coming out of GrowGen of some of the larger companies out there, some of our competitors.
Okay, that's great to hear. I guess just kind of following up along those lines, can you help us understand your due diligence criteria for some of these large acquisitions? And I suppose kind of going off that, how many of these might fit your criteria? Just any color around you know, how you go from identifying these companies to deciding whether it's worth your cash, your shares, and just worth worth acquiring. Any color would be great. Thanks.
Well, first, amount of years in business. You know, where they're located, same source growth over the last 5 years, management, whether management is staying on or not, length of time of each employee that's working at the store, concentration of sales. And also we look at, you know, again, bigger purchases for GrowGen require two-year audits. So, you know, there are stuff that we're working on right now that's going through audit processes. So anything, you know, over a certain amount of money, we require two-year audits on. And that's really the 9 yards of it. You know, it's certainly nothing that no one else looks at. You know, it's sales, it's margins, it's inventory levels, it's employees, and are they a fit for GrowGen? You know, again, will the employees fit into the GrowGen family? And can we make that store better? You know, what's their product mix? What's their customer mix? Where are they located? How close are they to a GrowGen store? Is it a place that we can put a store opposed to purchasing a store? You know, what's the return on investment opposed to opening, opposed to buying? And we're going through right now in the Los Angeles market. You know, again, you know, there's some large stores out in LA. You know, does it make sense for GrowGen to pick up an existing large store, or does it make more sense to, you know, to GrowGen to build an existing store the way we want it built? So there's a lot that goes into each acquisition. Smaller acquisitions certainly are much quicker. The Emerald Garden acquisition, you know, we found the store, we bought it within a month. So certainly, you know, we have a team that goes out, that assesses it, counts inventory. You know, again, simple contracts, and they're all APAs, or asset purchase agreements. We don't take any liability through these purchases. And we close them. And again, we've done a good job of it. And certainly we'll see, you know, a tremendous amount of acquisitions over the next year.
That's very helpful. Thanks.
There are no further questions at this time. Please proceed.
If there's no further questions, I will conclude the call and thank everyone for their time and appreciate their support. You know, it was a great quarter for the company, but I can tell you that, you know, GrowGen is certainly, you know, doesn't rest on its laurels. We're looking at an even better third quarter and fourth quarter, and looking forward to, you know, surpassing our guidance for 2021. And just wanted to thank everyone for their participation today, and look forward to our third quarter earnings call, which right now is scheduled for November 13th. And thank you guys for your time and support. Appreciate our employees. Certainly during this COVID time, and couldn't be more prouder, for the results and, go GrowGen. Darren, you want to just say the last word?
Sure, guys, in closing, you know, everyone stay safe, and don't forget to smile a little, and have a little bit of fun each day. It's certainly important. Like everyone knows, this too will pass, and again, stay safe. We appreciate all our shareholders, employees. Thank you for believing in our vision. We appreciate it. We look forward to keeping you guys up to speed on guidance, and certainly thank you for everything you do for us.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference call for today. We thank you for participating and ask that you please disconnect your lines. Have a great day.